And just like that, it's the halfway point of the 2019 football season. Thank you for joining the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Clay County's defense helped produce a win against Cumberland County to push the Bulldogs to 4-0. But head coach Jake Johnson said he really liked what Alec Kerr gave them on offense.
Well, I mean, you know, the kid is consistent. You know, he's always made big plays for us, secondary. However, we started using a little more of that speed, a little more of that burst on offense, and he really delivers in that time we needed it.
So when your defense is able to put up points like they did on Friday, how much momentum and confidence do your players have right now on defense after their performance on Friday?
Oh, big time. You know, we pitched several shutouts this year. I mean, you know, we've allowed 8 points all season, you know, and that was just in one game. So we've been scored on in only one game. So, I mean, that's big. That's huge.
So what's the secret been to your defense being so successful? Is it just physical play up front? Is it technique? What's allowed you guys to only give up 8 points so far this year?
It's a combination of several things. You know, we are, you know, we're very aggressive up front. And, you know, if those guys aren't making plays up front, you know, they're demanding double teams, letting our linebackers run free. You know, we've got some speed in the secondary as well. So, you know, overall, of course, by the numbers, also, you know, that's definitely what's carried us so far.
Looking back at the offense, Jake completed about 50% of his passes and threw a pick. What do you think he really needs to do better as a quarterback?
Well, you know, I think he does a pretty good job managing and controlling the offense. You know, going into that game, you know, he'd not turned the ball over any. And it was just the cardinal sin, I guess, as a quarterback is throwing late over the middle. Safety read it perfect, floated right under to undercut his ball. With pocket presence and everything, the only thing I guess we could try to take back is, you know, hey, don't throw late if you're going to throw in the middle.
So you're 4-0 right now. You're on a roll heading into your Week 5 game against Gordonsville. What's just the general mood around the locker room right now?
We're fired up. And, you know, generally going into Gordonsville, it historically has been flipped. They're typically on a roll. But, you know, if you look at their schedule, they have played some really good competition. They opened up with Watertown, Smith County. They also had, you know, Pickett, another region game, and then, you know, right back to Trousdale County. So, you know, records are very deceiving. They played some really, really good football teams. Not saying that we haven't, you know, it's just that, you know, strength of schedule for them makes their record a little misleading.
So with that all being said, is the focus still just that one week at a time mentality where you're not overlooking any opponent based on record?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's something I feel like our guys do a good job of, maintaining focus. And, you know, understanding, you know, if we want to reach the long term, we got to understand our short term goals, which is just one week at a time.
What's the formula for this team to finish strong in the second half of the year?
Well, I mean, just keep doing what we're doing. And, you know, these guys, they just find ways to win. Do we make mistakes? Yes, we make plenty. However, these guys have a good mentality, what we call the old school snap and clear. You know, hey, that play's over. Hey, new snap. Let's clear it. Start fresh from the other. They don't get too hung up on the highs. They don't get too low on the lows. It's just, hey, it's a play-by-play basis.
According to Johnson, the Bulldogs are in good spirits after their 4-0 start. They are well aware that every week is a new week for them to continue their winning ways. York head coach Derwin Wright said they see different looks from defenses on Friday nights opposed to what they see them run throughout the week on film because of the wing tee offense that the Dragons run.
Well, we've got to do a better job. We've got to do a better job with our front four. I felt like we didn't do a good job playing the run the other night against a spread team, and I think they did a good job of I think our secondary did a better job, but you know, a lot of teams will spread you to run the ball as much as anything, and you know, this team, Grace, was a throwing team, but once we were able to do a good job in the passing game, got a couple interceptions from Dalton Darger, and anyway, next thing you know, they're running the ball, and we're not doing a good job stopping the run.
Coach, you hit on it a little bit earlier. You said when your ground game's not really going, you don't see a lot of different things. What are you looking to do this week to get your ground game going against Smith County?
Well, I just felt like last week our offensive line did not play a good game. They got confused, missed a lot of blocks, wouldn't low at the point of attack, and that's been our emphasis this week, is trying to get those guys better technique and getting after it better.
Coach, you're 2-2 on the season, but you're 1-0 in the region. Going 2-0 in your region would be huge for you guys at this point in the season, right?
Absolutely, would be huge. You know, it's a game at home, and you know, you want to try to do your best at home, but any of your region games at home, you know, you've got to hope that advantage is going to help you.
Coach, what is it about playing the games at York that kind of gives you a home field advantage?
I think any team when they're playing at home has advantage. You know, it's your field. It's you're you know, more of your crowd most of the time. And, you know, anytime you're not traveling and all our travels are hour and a half, you know, it's to me, just being at home is an advantage.
Coach, you cut the lead down to 7 right before halftime. How were you guys feeling there at the halftime break, only trailing by 7?
Well, I felt pretty good about it. I thought, you know, we could make a couple adjustments in what we were doing and, you know, get some things going. But the turnovers killed us. You know, we ended up losing our starting quarterback and backup quarterback come in. He did a good job, but on his first handoff, we mishandled the exchange, fumbled. They picked it up, scooped, and scored. So, you know, we just had a lot of little things go wrong and just couldn't overcome it.
Wright said that Smith County's quarterback and running back are dynamic runners for the Owls. He said simulating their running styles this week in practice has been hard to mimic. Pickett County lost a tough game Friday night, falling 59-18 to Eagleville. Head coach Ray Reagan said he liked what he saw from his team despite the score.
Well, I mean, we was overmatched. Halftime, they responded, and they kept fighting, they didn't lay down and quit. I was proud of them for that. They worked real hard, and I appreciate it. We're going to keep building on it. As long as they're willing to keep playing and keep fighting, we'll keep improving.
With it, with going into week 5 now, how much are you emphasizing having a short-term memory each week and just, you know, moving on to the next game, not getting too high after a win, not getting too low after a loss?
Well, I mean, I've worked on that since day one. I've told them no matter if you think you're superior to who you're playing or if you think your opponent's superior to you, it really doesn't matter. It's a week-to-week thing, and on any given week, anything can happen. It's who works the hardest and executes the best is usually the one that comes out on ahead at the end of the day.
So how much have you been emphasizing that one-week-at-a-time mentality this week with Monterey coming up?
That's all they've heard since we walked off the field Friday night is this, you know, we'll prepare for this one. We're going to go play it. We're going to give it everything we got, and we're going to execute. We're going to try to be better than we was last week. Next week, we're going to try to do even better, and really doesn't matter who you're playing. It's the game's won and lost with ourselves, not anybody else.
So Monterey loves to pound the ball. They run a lot of smokestack formation. Is physicality your first focus on defense heading into this week?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, my defensive line's a little undersized. My defense is built for speed. I mean, we're fast. We can flow to the ball, and we match up better with teams that like to spread us out, you know, try to be more explosive. We can match up to them better. The physicality, yeah, that's a concern, but we worked on it. We worked on execution. We worked on fundamentals again, try to get back to the basics again, and good form tackling, and you know, we hope for the best.
Yeah, as a team that they run the ball, they do run the ball a lot. They also manage to throw a lot of different looks at defenses, whether it's out of that smokestack or what have you. Have you been preparing your kids for that in practice just by kind of running them up against different defenses?
Yeah, well, I mean, we do a lot of the same similar stuff ourselves, so in practice, they're more used to seeing that than what you'd think. I mean, we do a lot of different things on offense and defense, and we'll give you some different looks. So, yeah, they're fairly accustomed to that. I think that won't be the issue, though. My main concern is just the being overpowered and the physicality of it.
Reagan says he believes his Bobcats will be ready to take on Monterey Friday night. He said their experience running a similar offense provides them with practice for what the Wildcats will run against them in Week 5's matchup. Although Upperman lost 10-7 to Livingston Friday night in Baxter, head coach Adam Kane said he was pleased with his defense's performance containing Livingston Academy's potent offense.
We got to quit, you know, riding the emotional roller coasters. What I'm learning is, so in my second season here, but I'm learning this Livingston-Upperman deal is a pretty big rivalry. So, of course, it was going to get chippy at times because it was a highly competitive game. You know, they were, I guess, able to maintain their cool a little bit better than we were. You know, that's been a focus this week, trying to be more disciplined and cut down on the penalties. I've always been told, and I always believe, that penalties are a reflection of lack of discipline, and I think discipline is a reflection of coaching. So I've had to really look myself in the mirror and try to figure out some ways to make an impact on our guys, and because we really need to cut those penalties down. I believe we had 9 on Friday night, and Livingston only had 2, so that means they got a better coach team, and we got a long way to go.
Coach, you really moved the ball pretty well up and down the field all night, and then got hampered down in the red zone with some penalties and turnovers. What did you think of your offense after you broke down the film?
Well, after I looked at the film, the one thing that really stuck out was how well defensive line for Livingston played. You know, they were getting off blocks and making plays, things we usually get 5 or 6 yards on. We were getting 1 or 2. I got to give them credit. They were big, strong kids and played with unbelievable effort. That was the one biggest thing that I took. The next thing is we got to be able to focus, and we don't have the home run hitter this year. We've got to be able to be disciplined enough to drive the ball 14, 15 plays if that's what it takes. Again, that's what we've been focusing on this week, is trying to be a little bit more business like about our effort and our approach, and hopefully we can see the results of that on Friday and put some long drives together.
Coach, there's a couple plays that really stick out to me in my head. The jet sweep pass could have been a touchdown, and then there was another similar pass that were just dropped. And close game like that, you can always look at 2 or 3 plays that either win or lose you the game.
And we did. We got behind them. You know, they were playing what we call zero coverage, and basically just selling out to stop our run game. And we were able to get behind them, you know, missed 3 or 4 opportunities, to be honest with you. And it was just, you know, we just didn't hook up on it. I don't know if we threw it too far or didn't run the right routes, or a lot of times it was a combination of both. You know, we gave ourselves a chance, just kept coming up short on it. And some of that due to a lot of inexperience at receiver. This is all new to these kids, and they didn't play a whole lot before. So being on that big stage and, you know, not getting small when the ball's in the air is a new thing for them. So we got to be able to grow up and hopefully by the end of the year be making those plays. We have made some plays this year, but this Friday night we weren't able to do it. And I've got confidence we'll improve. Got a great deal of confidence in my quarterback. He's been a 3-year starter and an all-state kid. We're going to continue to put the ball in his hands and let him do his thing, and other guys will come around, and hopefully we'll start winning games again.
Kane said that Cannon County's wing tee offense has been unstoppable in 2 of their games this season. He said he expects them to play with more discipline and for them to continue to play hard in their first true road game this season. Cumberland County struggled against a solid Clay County defense Friday night in Crossville. Head coach Eric Ballou is continuing to emphasize having a short-term memory after a loss.
Yeah, you know, we got to take the good things that we did and, you know, make sure we keep doing those, and then understand the negative things have got to stop. We got to start taking some ownership, and that's kind of been the word this week.
And I know that probably is also more of a focus on turnovers with, you know, the 3 interceptions this past week. Have you put in heavier emphasis on that this week, or has it just been more of the same?
Well, the big emphasis is just finishing drives, whether that's, you know, 3 and outs, 4 and outs, or turnovers. You know, we just got to understand on the offensive side of the ball, we have got to finish. We've got to move the ball. When we get in certain areas where it's tough, you know, we're going to have to grit our teeth and stick our feet in the ground and go to work. So, you know, we just got to understand that, you know, just moving the ball isn't good enough. We've got to be able to finish those drives.
It seems kind of like on offense that teams in the past few weeks have begun to key in a little more on Trevor and have kind of held him, you know, in check. Are there any adjustments you're able to make that counter that? Or do you just keep feeding him the ball?
Well, I think it just depends on what they want to do pregame. Teams are going to have to decide, do they want Trevor to get it, or do they want him to pull it and run? I think that's what Clay did. They did some things to make sure that we gave the ball to the running back. You know, we hit them on a couple RPOs early, and they started taking that away. So, you know, we expect that, and, you know, we prepare for that. And, we're just going to have to be a little more creative on getting some of our other athletic guys in space.
So we're 4 weeks into the season now. We're getting kind of that, almost to that halfway point with this week's game. With as far as where your team is at, what are your thoughts as to how they've developed so far over these first 4 weeks?
Yeah, you know, I think we've gotten better physically. I mean, we're doing things better. But what's got to change is, you know, we've got to play tougher. We've got to finish games. We've got to play harder. You know, understand that just because you're tired doesn't mean that you need to come out or you can't go 100%. We've got to understand what it actually takes to win, how uncomfortable you have to be to finish games and win. So, you know, that's the big emphasis on what we have to improve on.
Is there any player that, you know, has kind of just come out of nowhere that at the beginning of the year you maybe didn't really know what you would get from them, but they've really come on strong as of late?
You know, that's actually kind of what we're expecting this week. You know, we're gonna throw some guys in that maybe haven't gotten his experience yet, and it may be too early for me to answer that right now. But we expect some young guys this week to step in that haven't got to play that much. A guy like Grayson Hale, who had a really good practice yesterday. We moved him to a one. We expect some big things from him.
So you've got Macon County coming into town on Friday. What all have you seen from them that you'll have to scheme for on defense?
Well, you know, they're wing tee, so obviously, you know, formations and misdirection and stuff that you have to prepare for. I have a wing tee background, so kind of what I like to do is, you know, I watch, you know, a wing tee offense and what would I do in their situation and what gives me the most trouble if I'm running their wing tee system. So that's kind of perspective we like to give for our defensive guys. They run a lot of stuff and they're good at it. So, you know, I mean, defensive side of the ball, we're going to have to certainly be on our P's and Q's.
Physicality will be key up front, according to Ballou, and his team will have to be ready to go out of the gate when they take on Macon County Friday night at home. The Oakland Patriots travel to Cookeville this week for a Region 3 6A matchup. Oakland sits atop the Associated Press's 6A top 10. Head coach Jimmy Maynard said they're going to have their hands full trying to slow down an Oakland offense that scores nearly 70 points a game.
When you play Oakland, you play every offense there is. I mean, they're a wing tee. They base out of a wing tee. They come out in the wing tee, and then they're in a spread. They're an empty. They're in a too tight eye with a flanker running power. Just have to, first of all, the wing tee in itself is one that you have to work. You know, it's different than any other offense, and you have to spend a lot of time preparing for that because they run the buck sweep awfully well. That's probably their number one play is the buck sweep, and then the belly and the trap and the basic wing tee stuff, all the counter stuff off of it in the passing game, and you have to really spend a lot of time preparing for that. And then they come out and empty, and they got a quarterback that's a 3 or 4 star player that transferred in from Indianapolis, and very difficult, as you can well tell. They're averaging 69 points a game, which is unheard of in high school football.
Coach, on top of Oakland's 69 points a game they average, you're giving up less than 10 a game. So how are you going to be able to move the ball?
Well, I mean, that's the key, and we haven't been successful in the last couple of years doing that. Really, nobody has. They put so much pressure on you. There are so many different looks. Not only do they give you everything on offense, they do the same thing on defense. They're a 50, they're a 4-2, they're a 4-3, they're a 3-3 stack, and then they got all their different blitzes and their coverages out of that, which makes it, you know, you got to recognize the what they're in and tough on their offensive line. You know, we've got to just make sure that you have to be simple. You can't have too much going in, and obviously you're going to have to throw the ball a little bit against them just to try to move the chains. And, you know, they returned 8 starters from a team that last year in the playoffs went through the whole playoff system and gave up about 7 points a game in the playoffs. So they return a lot of guys on the defensive side, and then when they make you punt the football, they block. I don't know how many punts they block. Every tape I've seen, they block sometimes 2 and 3 times in the game on punts. So you got to be careful when you punt the ball because they do come after punts, and they have a lot of speed and put a lot of pressure on you on that part of it too.
Coach, you said it Saturday morning, and just said it again about block destruction. You know, it's not just good enough to have your hat where you're supposed to be if you're getting blocked. So what are you guys doing this week to get off blocks?
Well, you know, we've got to work on getting hands on. Sometimes we're not getting hands on, and we tell our kids, you know, you've got to do what he's trying to do to you. If he's coming to try to kick you out, you got to go kick him out. You know, I mean, that's the thing you got to do. You got to attack the blocker. You can't sit and catch the block, and that's what we've been doing. We've been catching the block instead of attacking the blocker, and you know, that's just football, and that's the way you have to defeat a block is you have to attack the block. You can't run around them. You got to run through them and get people at the point of attack and make sure that wherever they're trying to run the ball, you try to restrict that seam or that crease in there by attacking the block.
Coach, one of your more intriguing players to me is Cameron Harris. He's a starting defensive lineman for you guys, but he also plays running back, and he had some huge runs Friday night.
Well, you know, that was one of the point of emphasis last week. We felt like we needed to get our running backs more involved in the run game. We've been rushing okay for a lot of yards. Most of it has been with our quarterback, and we want to try to make sure we can't just keep running him over and over and over. We have to protect him, and we needed our backs to step up and get more involved in the running game, and Cameron was able to do that. We felt like going in against White County that the counter play was going to be a good play for us, and it was. That was most Cameron had five carries, 143 yards. He had some long, long runs, mostly off of the counter play, and, you know, it definitely was good to see Cameron come through in that aspect.
Right now, Oakland has some of the best players in the state, according to Coach Maynard. Maynard said the Cavaliers have worked extremely hard in the weight room and play hard to overcome the talent differences in the two teams. Livingston Academy head coach Bruce Lamb said Friday's 10-7 win over Upperman meant a lot to his players, especially after last year's 21-0 loss to the Bees in Livingston.
You were able to force three takeaways against Upperman and beat them in the penalty game. That was really the difference in the ball game.
Absolutely. You know, anytime you can win the turnover margin, that's always huge in any game that you play, whoever the opponent is. And you know, you definitely want to be the more disciplined team and not have the penalties. And when you're losing yardage or losing the ball, it's not going to be good for your team.
Coach, I really didn't anticipate such low-scoring ball game, but how did your defense grade out after you were able to watch the film?
Well, I mean, I thought they played really well. We didn't have just one person stand out besides Wesley Smith, you know, with the two picks. You know, a lot of different people were in on the tackles. They were flying to the ball, and you know, I thought they graded out really well. Did they play perfect? Absolutely not. You know, we got some things we need to fix, but, you know, the kids come with a good attitude and a lot of effort, and it makes you play a pretty good defense. You can do that.
At the beginning of last week, you talked about Upperman's front seven and their ability to really shut down the run game and their linebackers to run sideline to sideline, but I saw zero back down from anyone on your offense and from Will. He hung in that pocket and got the ball out quick.
Absolutely. You know, the kids, our kids did a great job in the maturity level that we have out there. You know, they've been through games like this where they've taken beatings and, you know, and get whipped. And, you know, that's part of the game. When you play this game, there's going to be times that you're going to get whipped and you're going to give up sacks. And, you know, and you got to find ways to win. My hat goes off to Upperman. You know, Coach Kane and his staff did a great job trying to stop us, and they did for the most part. You know, we were lucky enough to get on the board and get a lead, and lucky enough to keep it. You know, I thought they did a great job, but I also thought our kids did a great job of just finding that way to win.
Coach, I think you might have a tough task this week as head coach with your kids not necessarily getting the big head and to leave last week's game in the past and to focus on this week. How is that going for you?
Well, we've had a good practice so far, and kids came out with a great attitude, and, you know, it was kind of upbeat practice, and, you know, when you can get a big win like we had this past week, you know, it always makes you seem, everything's a little smoother in practice. You know, we got after it yesterday, and look forward to getting after it again today, and, you know, just the kids' attitude is great right now. They know they got to work. It is a huge region game this week with Stone Memorial, and, you know, they came up and last year and put one on us here at our place, and, you know, if we did get our heads right, because we go up there, we know it's going to be tough.
L.A. jumps back into region play this week against Stone Memorial. Lamb said even though the Panthers are a young team, his Wildcats are not ready to play, it will be a long night in Crossville. DeKalb County head coach Steve Trapp said that the close-knit community and pride in their school are a few reasons that makes DeKalb County such a tough place to play.
Just do what we need to do. I know last time we played at home, playing against Stone with the potential for their offense to make big plays and things like that. We did very well, you know, not so much in our other games. But again, it goes back to, taking care of the details, doing what's supposed to be done each and every rep. We got our mindset got out of that a little bit last week. And when you face good football teams, it can hurt you. But when you face anybody and you don't do what's supposed to be done, it can hurt you. So really it's just about taking care of us, taking care of our assignments, making sure that we're playing extremely hard and doing what it takes to get what we want. And what we want is to be successful as we can be on each individual play.
Coach, offensively, looking to lean on the run game this week against Grundy?
Well, we want to be an offense that has the opportunity to do what needs to be done, you know, week in, week out. I think that's, you know, it's great at times when you can execute, you know, if you feel like you got a great advantage in the passing game to come in and be able to throw the ball, if you got a great advantage in the running game to be able to come in and run. I mean, there's been years where, yeah, we definitely set up the run by throwing the ball first. There's been other years where, you know, our balance, we were very balanced. Everybody had the perception that all we did was throw, but we actually used the run to set up the pass. So really it's dictated by, you know, our opponent each and every week. You know, our guys just got to make sure that we understand why we are calling what we are calling, and just like I said before, just take care of us and execute to the best of our ability.
How important is it for you guys to jump out on Grundy quick?
Well, not just this week. I think that's important each and every week, and I think it's so much more for us than it is, you know, know about them. That's one of our models here. You know, let's do what we do and make other people adjust to us. Like I said, we've got to be able to do what we do. We've got to execute better. We've been very consistent at being inconsistent at times. When we have done it right, we've done it right and looked very good. Health issues have been a cause of that. You know, next man up thing. We're trying to get better in that regard, and within the next couple weeks that may happen. But like I said, it's just all about lining up, understanding your assignment, and then just playing as hard as you can each and every play. Each and every one of them is not perfect, but that's the mindset that we got to have.
I know that the game didn't go as you planned Friday, but with the no turnovers and few penalties, that's a great place to start.
It is. I mean, and that's, you know, you try to find positives in every game, and that's definitely one that we had. I think that's two games in a row, because like I said, the first two games, it was about those turnovers, and especially in the first game, that really hurt us. But the last two games, we've done better in that department. I mean, last week, I just think mentally, we broke down there. I mean, it was a 14-7 game there late in the second half, and then, like I said, I just think mentally, we broke down, and it is teenagers, and just trying to keep them in the moment, and then moment is each and every individual play to do your assignment and to do it to the best of your ability. That's what we need, no matter what the situation is. If you're up 30 or down 30, there's still a way that this game is needs to be played. So that's what we're preaching, and that's what we're teaching, and I expect our guys to come out and have a good response after last week's result.
Trapp said mental toughness plays a big role in the game of football and in the game of life in general. Trapp said DeKalb County has a way to go in that department, but he sees progress. White County head coach Mark Frazier said they did not get the results they wanted Friday night against Cookeville. However, he did say that Friday night was not a complete loss, and he thinks things with White County football are heading in the right direction.
Well, I got to give that to, offensive coordinator, offensive staff, or the guys who came up with the play call and the timing of the play call. We knew when we got to midfield, we wanted to try to do something. We felt like we needed some big plays in the game to give us a shot to win. We didn't want to hold anything back. So, we felt like we had an aggressive defense that would attack the run, and we thought they'd come up. And to be honest with you, the young man defending it did a really good job. He didn't bite on the play. We just ended up making a good catch, and sometimes that happens. So it worked out, and it was a big play for us.
So you score right at the end of the first half and then open up the second half with a 12-play, 70-yard drive that resulted in another score, cutting the lead to 10. You guys had to be feeling pretty good at that point.
Yeah, I thought it was a very big opening drive. Offensive line, I thought, played well all night against a very quick and physical front seven from Cookeville. The offensive line played well, and running backs played well. I thought Jaden Richmond had a big game. I've been saying that every week. Jaden and Will are playing great at running back position. I thought Cedric ran the ball hard at quarterback, and they came out had a big play. I would have liked to have had that two-point conversion to cut it to one score there. I thought that was a big momentum shift, not getting that. Very excited about that part of it. The ensuing kickoff, not so much. Kind of killed the momentum right there, but I was proud of our offense.
The offensive line has to be creating some creases and lanes to allow them the opportunity to pick up those yards.
Well, and they are. It's so funny that normally offensive line doesn't get a lot of credit no matter what the situation. But if you come watch our game, you can't come away from that without thinking, hey, man, that offensive line is doing a good job. We got some good senior leadership there, and then we got a couple younger guys that are working hard. So couldn't be more proud of those guys up front.
Walker Valley's coming off a bye week, and they've lost two really close games also. So how does this matchup look for you right now?
Well, they lost to some good football teams. They won their opening game. They lost to Bradley, and they lost to Ray County, two perennial good teams. We watched both those teams on film. So they lost to two really good football teams. They throw the ball well, which we've struggled with this year a little bit, taking care of our secondary guys. We had to talk, yesterday how we've got to step our game up a little bit on defense. They've got some good skill players, good at quarterback. It's going to be another tough test for us. We'll have to play hard and play well to have a chance to win the game. Maybe we'll come out and decide not to get behind by 20 in the first quarter like we seem to want to do every game, so maybe we'll come out of the gates a little quicker before we figure out how we need to play. But if we play well, we'll have a shot, but it's just like it is for us every week. If we don't play well, it's going to be tough for us to win. We need to have a good week of practice and be ready to go get them Friday.
Frazier said he would like it if his football team would not start the first quarter off with 20-point deficits. He said faster starts as a staff and a team is something they have to get figured out. The Monterey Wildcats are off to a 4-0 start this season. Head coach Scott Hughes said that his team still has a long way to go, but they understand the process.
It's just one of those things for us. It's just trying to find the best way to win a football game by any means necessary for us. And we've got a very selfless football team. So, when we take our receivers off the field, there's no pouting. They understand that we're doing everything we can to win, and it's for the betterment of our football team. And we did jump in a little big set there, and we were trying to do some things that we thought we could have a little bit of success with there in that situation and trying to ice a football game. But we've also iced some football games with all kinds of formations. It's just one of those things, whatever we feel at that moment in time.
What's working so well for your guys on the defensive side of the ball?
We're playing for each other first and foremost. I mean, we care about each other, and our guys are trying to play for one another, and we're flying to the football. We're getting a lot of jerseys, a lot of purple jerseys around the football, and we're creating some turnovers, and those are all positive things. The big thing, though, for us is we're where we're supposed to be right now. Last week I was a little upset, though. I thought mentally we lost focus several times. We gave up a big touchdown pass just because of a lack of communication, which that to me, lack of communication comes from focus. I think pre-snap, you've always got to know where you got to be, and you got to make sure that all your partners know where they got to be for everybody to be on the same page. And we botched that a couple times last week. But those are things that we can fix. And sometimes when you're dealing with high school students, their communication means are normally via text message or social media, and they still struggle sometimes talking to each other, and especially having to use a loud voice when you got the crowd going and they had a band playing and everything going on. And the thing that a lot of people forget about is in the game of football and sports in general, you've got such a small window of time to communicate. So it's the eyes, it's the recognition. A lot of that stuff comes on Saturday morning, Sunday afternoon, watching film and knowing what's going on before it ever happens and unfolds. And we've done a terrible job of that in the first half, but we come back in the second half and done a great job with it.
Coach, you jumped back into region play this week with Pickett County. How are they looking on film so far?
They got some good athletes, and their quarterback, I really like him. He throws the ball really well, but he's a big kid. I think he's got a great arm. He makes very good decisions. They've got some big guys up front. They're skilled kids. Their receivers are long and athletic, and when you watch them on film, they've had several plays where they've scored from, 50-plus, and they get you isolated one-on-one, and they do a good job of getting you in one-on-one situations and just trying to out-athlete you. So it's going to be a challenge from that standpoint. Coach Reagan's really good guy. Thank the world of him and what he does. We're excited to still be at home this week. Our guys are fighting every day, but they've always done that since I've been at Monterey, and so it's something we're proud of. But we're excited about Friday night.
Coach Hughes said his guys are focused on winning each and every day. Hughes says their goal is to go 1-0 each week, and they do not look at overall records. Jackson County Blue Devils head coach Sean Loftus said that this week's region game against East Robertson is the biggest of the year to this point. Loftus pointed out that both teams Friday night are jockeying for playoff position.
Just use for our confidence as well. We play much better whenever we have a lead or, something's going good for us and things like that early on in the game. Early on in the preseason, everybody would be picking them probably to finish in the top two, maybe in the region. But with the loss of their senior quarterback, it started for 4 years. Unfortunately, he got hurt and tore his ACL back in the spring. And so they've been trying to find their identity from what many have considered the number one prospect in the sophomore class, state of Tennessee, and Taylor Groves, a wide receiver that has already received many SEC offers. And I'm sure many more are soon to come. But, so we always got to know where he's located at. They do a good job of moving him around. He's played some quarterback. He's played every position in the every spot, basically, at wideout. So we've got to be cautious of where he's aligned. And then, defensively, we got to, go out and do a good job. And then offensively, we've got to, take care of the football. We've got to put points on the board.
Speaking of defending that young man, is that someone you're looking, when he's lined up out wide, to get Wid Robbins on, probably your best defender?
Wid's more of he's our linebacker, so he's going to stay in the box. We want to try to make them one-dimensional to where we can shut down the run game, hopefully, with our front six or seven. But in a secondary-wise, we're going to do some different things to, we've got two or three different coverages that we're going to use. We're going to use probably what we feel like our best cover guy right now is Jacob Calvin, a junior who's done a real good job of matching up with the opponent best wide receiver for the most part. And then we're going to use, sometimes we might even have somebody underneath and one person over the top of him.
Coach, Friday night you had a huge homecoming win over Red Bull and Springs. Were you happy with that performance after you were able to go back and grade the tape?
Oh, no doubt. It was one of those where, it's always good to have a game, that that you're not sitting there fighting tooth and nail for, you know, early, late in the game. So, you know, we got everybody in. We had a huge crowd here. You know, the community had a, you know, good day. They supported us all day, you know, with the parade and all the types of things. And the kids responded well Friday night.
Coach, Eli Burris had a really effective night passing the ball also.
He did. You know, they're sitting there with seven in the box, even whenever we move out into, you know, we're more of a spread team, so we're always going to have three to four wide receivers out on the field, and they're sitting there with they've got seven guys in the box, and you know, I'm smart enough to know that if you've only got one running back and five linemen, that's five blocking seven, and it's the matchups are really not in your favor, and so you know, so we just kind of, you know, threw the ball around a little bit, and he and the wide receivers made some plays for us, made a couple of guys miss, and next thing you know, they're finding pay dirt, and did a really good job of getting themselves open, and Eli delivering the football. I mean, Eli's done a good job for us this year, throwing the ball and getting it to the people on time. That's the biggest thing, is that we try to preach is, you know, we're going to be able to get them, keep them off of you for a certain amount of time. You know, you've got to know what your read is and then get the ball out as quickly as you possibly can to that guy that you feel like, you know, off of your read is the person that's open. And so he did that on Friday night, and, you know, 9 of 10 is not bad at all. And, you know, I think he ended up somewhere around 230, 240 yards of passing yards.
With smaller numbers on the Blue Devils football team this year, they are unable to play a junior varsity or freshman schedules. Bofta said Friday night's big homecoming win over Red Bull and Springs allowed some younger players to get valuable playing time. Friday night on UC Sports Nation, we will carry four live streams of football games across the Upper Cumberland. We will carry Upperman at Cannon County, Jackson County versus East Robertson, Clay County versus Gordonsville, and Monterey versus Pickett County. Log on to ucsportsnation.com, driven by East Tennessee Dodge.